Let's look at five things that happen when anyone trusts in Jesus Christ for salvation. First, the believer in Jesus Christ is born again. John 1:12 through 13 reads, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." We'll look at verse 13 first. We find that just as our physical birth brought us into the world in a physical sense, so the spiritual birth brings us into a new place with the God of the universe. This birth is not affected by the choice of two other people, as is the case with your physical birth. No, this spiritual birth is the very will of God, that anyone who trusts in him will be born again, will be made anew. And this newness of this new birth is described in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Things can be new in one of two ways. They can be new in time. That is to say, you can get a new car, a new pen, or a new bike, or new in kind. You can get something that is never before seen, that is a new invention or a new type of creation on the earth. It is this second kind of newness that is in view here. When a person puts their faith in Christ, they are a completely new type of spiritual creature, having been made afresh in Jesus Christ and fashioned after his image. Leading us to the second thing that is true of everyone who has become or placed their faith in Christ, you become a part of God's family. John 1:12 through 13 again, but focusing on verse 12, we find that when anyone places their faith or believes in Jesus, that he gives us the right to become children of God. To become a child of someone means that that person becomes your parent, that you're under their protection, their guidance, and their care. And so easily, God allows us, takes us into his familial relationship together. John would write in 1 John 3:2 about this same principle, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Notice how he opens this verse, "Now we are children of God." Writing to believers here, he states with all confidence that he and they alike share this position, this identity as children of God. And once a child of God, nothing else could a person become. Moving on to the third thing that is true of everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, your sins are fully forgiven. John 1:29 describes a time when John the Baptist saw Jesus. It says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" You see, prior to Jesus coming, sin was only covered over by sacrifices in anticipation of the one who would come, the perfect divine Lamb of God, who would be able to pay for sin permanently, taking it away altogether. 1 Peter 2:24 explains the same idea, writing, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Jesus Christ bore our sins, having the idea of bearing them or carrying them away. Where? In his body. When? On the tree, when he was crucified on the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years ago, he took with him every believer's sin, past, present, and future. So this forgiveness is not the forgive and forget type of forgiveness that happens amongst humans. It is the complete and perfect forgiveness of God that rids us of it by paying for it himself on the cross of His Son, Jesus Christ. The fourth thing that we'll look at today is that you are reconciled to God if you've believed in Jesus Christ today. Romans 5:10 reads, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." When we think of reconciliation, we think of two parties having to compromise to come together, perhaps both having to offer forgiveness and ask for forgiveness. But in the case of reconciliation to God, God was ultimately fully, perfectly righteous, and we are the offensive and offending parties. So in order for us to be reconciled to God, it means we have to be changed into something else. And we see that the death of Jesus Christ is the agency through which the believer is perfectly changed and reconciled, that is, made acceptable once again to a righteous and holy God. Paul, writing of this in Colossians 1:20, says, "And by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." How does this reconciliation occur? It occurs through the blood of His payment for sin on the cross of Jesus Christ. The fifth and final thing that we'll look at today that occurs to any person who places their faith in Jesus Christ, and I assure you, it's five of an unlimited list of amazing things that happen positionally when a person trusts in Jesus, is our citizenship in heaven. Philippians 3:20 reads, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You see, today, citizenship is something of an assumed, a guarantee. If you're born in a nation, you're a citizen of that nation, but it was not so in ancient Rome. Ancient Rome's citizenship was only extended to a select few, and it came with incredible privileges, power, prestige, and protection. Yet that citizenship had to be bought or earned, or perhaps occasionally given to one at birth, by the luck of the draw. And yet, when Paul penned these words that every believer in Jesus Christ has a full and active citizenship in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, we find that we are citizens of a home that we have not yet seen with our eyes, and that we have all the privileges and the power and the protection of that and the King of heaven thereof. It's a wonderful privilege and a wonderful position which we have. Hopefully, all of these privileges, all of these blessings, these positional realities that are true of everyone in Jesus Christ causes you to become more interested in what it means to trust in Jesus. John wrote in John 20:31, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name." See, John wrote his gospel. He wrote of the miracles and the teachings and the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus so that people would know that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who would pay for sin to reconcile God to a sinful world. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the object, the just object of our faith, and that should we believe in Him, we will have a continuing spring of life in His name. If you are interested to learn more about God's grace and love, may I encourage you to find a Bible and read the Gospel of John. If you're looking for more information, come to Fort Collins Bible Church. You can find us on Facebook, on YouTube, and on the internet at worldwideweb.fortcollinsbiblechurch.com. That's www.fortcollinsbiblechurch.com. May you find an increasing and ever-growing faith in Jesus Christ marking your existence, and may God richly bless you this day.